everybody. Welcome to Grid Gossip, episode 23. The season has come to an end. What an ending. I'm here with my co-host, Julie. She's going to be in a phenomenal mood. I guarantee it in this episode. How are you doing, Julie?
I'm doing great.
I bet. You better be.
I'm on cloud nine. Just like full of life, full of happiness. Smile for the rest of my days.
Although I was hoping for another result, I am so happy that the season is over. Like, I felt this huge, huge weight of anxiety. I'm not a very anxious person, and I was so anxious the last 2 weeks, and I just felt relieved the second it was over, like thrilled. So I'm feeling good too. We'll talk about my boy Lewis. But yeah, you must have been stoked. How bad was it for you during the race? Because I mean, pretty much the whole race, Max was in no way going to win.
I mean, I was pretty excited after Saturday when he won qualifying. And, you know, the race started, didn't get ahead. So
yeah,
I was just kind of like sitting there. I honestly didn't think anything was going to happen that late in the race that Max was going to win it. But that's why I tried to stay calm and was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I'm not sad about it.
Yeah, I was at the bar that I've referenced a few times with my buddy, and I don't know, it was like lap, I don't know, I think it was like when Max came in to get some fresh tires, I think he was like 18 seconds down, and they're like, he's gonna have to take an eighth a lap.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, in the first two laps, he was like, I think he did an eighth, and I was like, shit, this is gonna be a last lap. And then it started to mellow out, and he was taking like 2/10, and it was like, all right, Lewis has this. And I didn't say it out loud because I didn't want to put it in the universe, but I kept thinking, like, is the season really going to end with Lewis winning this race by 15 seconds? Like,
I know.
After all this. And I kid you not, it was like, it couldn't have been more than like a lap and a half later, and Latifi puts in the wall. And I just look at my buddy, and he looks at me, and it's like eyes wide open. And I was like,
it was crazy.
Yeah. From there, it was just a matter of our good old buddy, Michael Massey. You know, so we'll talk about that. But yeah, I'm completely content. I like Max. I've said that a million times. I would have preferred Lewis to win just to get the eighth. And then it was really because I just wanted to transition to liking all the younger guys more than Lewis. But now it's like, I really want to see Lewis get the eighth. And so now, like, I feel like I got to wait another year. But it was a great race. And what a way to end the season. I mean, it's going to be the best season probably in our lifetime, most likely.
Wow. In our lifetime, I mean, I have like, I don't know, you're a little older than me, so I have some more years on you to live and experience, I guess.
Well, I don't mean in the sense that we're old and like we're and knock on wood.
Speak for yourself.
End. I think I've got like 2 years on you.
I think more than that.
How old are you?
I am 32.
Are you really?
Yeah. How old did you think I was?
I got like 6 years senior then. Yeah. So yeah, I got like a half decade on you.
And are you telling me I look older?
No, I just, for some reason, I thought your sister's about 35, 36. Hey, yeah, that makes sense. I thought you guys were like 1 year apart, but I guess it's like three.
Four.
Yeah. Anyways. For those of you that are listening to an F1 podcast but didn't watch the race, let's just take you through qualification.
Sure. So we're in Abu Dhabi. Some fun facts about this track is that Lewis Hamilton is the most successful driver at this track. He has 5 wins. The only other driver to record more than one victory at this track is Sebastian Vettel, who has taken the checkered flag 3 times. Mercedes has won nearly... Oh, these are sad facts. It's all about Mercedes. Mercedes has won nearly every edition of this Grand Prix in the turbo hybrid era, taking 6 consecutive wins from 2014 to 2019. But Max did win for Red Bull last year. It's actually one of the few races on the calendar that's named after its host city versus its host country.
Never noticed that.
Yep.
That's a good one.
And it's the only twilight race. It normally starts 30 minutes before the sun sets, though the circuit's floodlights are illuminated for the duration of the track.
Yeah, this track looks pretty cool. That little that part of the hotel that they drive underneath, that'd be pretty neat. And then they have the marina bay, whatever you call it, that little all those yachts
are. The yachts parked. Yeah,
it's kind of like Monaco, which is pretty cool. I've never been. Have you been there?
To Abu Dhabi?
Yeah.
No, I've been to Dubai, but not Abu Dhabi.
Mm, got it.
In the 2012 Grand Prix, Kimi actually won, and on his way to victory, he responded to an update from his race engineer by uttering the now famous line, "Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing." And that is all things Abu Dhabi.
Well, speaking of Kimi, I guess we'll just get this out of the way because that's kind of how his race did. His race went. Such an anticlimactic way for him to go out. However, very fitting.
Yeah, like it wasn't. It seemed kind of appropriate.
And I think, honestly, I don't think he gave two shits. I think he was like, great, just save me an hour and a half. Like, fantastic. So if you didn't watch the race, Kimi is retiring. As you know, this was his last race, and he DNF'd. I don't even know. It was early, very early in the race. I don't even think he got through the first 15 laps, and he DNF'd. So car retired and officially career retired.
I think he was the first to retire.
However, he did win driver of the day, though.
He was the first to retire, but Mazepin never actually raced because he got a positive COVID test, which leading up to, you know, countdown to the race, you're like, well, if he doesn't spin out and cause a yellow flag, like, who will?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll get to it, but Latifi has become the most unpopular driver for me. Like, I would rather, I'm rooting for Mazepin over Latifi all day next year.
Wow.
Like, easy.
Why?
Because there's no reason for Latifi to be in a wreck. Like, what do you, you know, what's funny is he was battling with Schumacher, though. I think that's the funniest part.
Yes. I mean, I don't think he would have crashed if Schumacher didn't tap him a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's do a brief recap of qualifying.
Recap it.
Okay. So in Q1, I think everything was normal. But then in Q2, Max was on medium tires. Is that what they're called? Medium?
They're called mediums.
Yep. And one of his tires was like not doing well. And so then he had to go and switch to the soft compounds and put those on in Q2, which means he would be starting the race on soft compounds when it sounds like their strategy was probably leaning towards the medium compounds, but they had no choice in that matter, which meant he was going to be doing a different strategy than Lewis going into the race.
Yeah, I mean, he flat spotted it, which was interesting because Lewis said, he's like, I think they meant to do that. Like, no one flat spots, like, locks up in turn one. So who knows? I thought it was interesting, the alternate strategy. I was pretty confident it wasn't going to work. I mean, when do you see anyone in the front top 10 really start on softs and make that strategy work, you know, unless they get lucky with like a safety car or whatnot. In Q3, I mean, you use softs again and, I mean, there's a blowout lap.
Yep. And then the only other exciting thing that happened was Lando got third, which we haven't really seen him doing too well since McLaren had their big weekend. So it was nice to see him back up there, but didn't quite last very long for him.
No. And in so Lando fashion, they asked him, like, are you going to mix it up? Are you going to go for it? And like right away, although the next day, like race day, he was like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. But like right after qualies, he was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to get involved in that. It's kind of nerve wracking, which I agree. Like, I don't know that I want to mix it up with Max and Lewis into turn one.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I think he was a little too honest. Like, and I feel like that's like the next step for Norris. Like, I don't ever think he's going to be as intense as Max, but like he needs to have a little bit more of a killer instinct.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, then we had Max in first, Lewis in second, Lando in third, and Perez in fourth going into race day.
Yep. Yep. And Bottas in like, where was he? Eighth? Seventh?
I don't know. He was just like
invisible this weekend.
He was like, I'm not even going to be a team player this weekend. That's all I kept thinking. He was like, fuck it.
All he needed to do was one thing, and I'll talk about it when we get there. Qualifying in the top four would have been helpful for sure. Although it is what it is. So race starts, and which is surprising because I feel like Max has been so dominant off the line when the lights go out. But in the last few weeks, it's been really the other way around, and it was no different this week. Lights go out, and Lewis...
They hit a bit of a slow start. Slow reaction.
Clearly in, ahead into turn one. It's not a long run down to turn one, but I think they clocked it at a full tenth, which, like, a tenth of a second is not a lot, but in racing, it's a ton. So Lewis into turn one with really no problems. It wasn't until, what turn was it? Seven, eight? After that long straight that you got the first Max Lewis interaction, which you knew was going to happen. I mean, Max had to get ahead. So
turn six.
Yeah. So turn six, long straight, and Max does what he does. He dives it down inside, and it pushed Lewis off. I thought he pushed him off. I thought it was pretty clear that Lewis was going to have to go off circuit.
Of course you would think that.
I was very surprised by how liberal across the circuit he took it. I mean, it was very liberal. He definitely had to take it off.
He did it to, like, be extra dramatic.
I wasn't surprised that they didn't make him give the position back. I actually didn't think they were going to.
Didn't give the position back.
No, I know. But the stewards said that they felt like he gave the advantage back, meaning like he let Max get close enough again, which I don't know if I'd actually agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah. But, you know, this has been a common theme, really, the second half of the year. It's just a lot of inconsistencies. So why any different on the first lap? So that was really the only drama. The race kind of opened up from there, I believe, right? Lewis started to open up the margin, you know, 3/10 almost every lap. And before you knew it, you know, we were in kind of that pit window for softs. And Lewis had, I think, what, 4 or 5 second lead at that point. And Max drops it in for hards.
Yep.
Mercedes copies, as you would expect them to do. They come in the next lap for hards. And that was kind of it for the first stint. I think that was really, it was pretty quiet up until the Perez-Lewis action, which just so good when these two tangle.
I mean, I just really enjoy watching Perez. He's like the ultimate teammate. And like, I love just watching him battle, because I feel like anytime he's like in a face-off or like, you know, trying to pass someone or somebody's trying to pass him, like, it's never just kind of like a one and done. Like, he always tries to like fight back. It's always really fun to watch, in my opinion. And, you know, he's up there with Lewis, or he's in first. And so Lewis is behind him, right? And so he's trying to slow him down so Max can, you know, shorten the gap between them. And I mean, they must have gone, Lewis and Perez went back and forth at least 4 times. And you see the time between Max and Lewis just slowly but surely starting to decrease. And then in classic Lewis fashion, he says on the radio, "Oh, that's dangerous driving."
I know. I knew,
like,
you would love
you
that.
Little piece of poop. Like, anytime someone tries to pass him in a semi-aggressive way, which is driving, like, they didn't hit each other, it was like literally all kosher, he has like a heart attack. But if he tries to do that to somebody else, it's not dangerous driving then.
Yeah, I was in the bar and everyone was just started laughing hysterically when I said, even I was like,
he's such a baby.
Here's what I will say though about Checo, and I'm not, this is not like a Max roast or anything like that, but there is a subtle difference, and I get it, Checo's not going for the championship, I get it. But there's a subtle or very clear difference in the way that he battles, not just Lewis, but we've seen it with Lewis on a few different occasions this year versus Max and Lewis, right? Like, Max and Lewis, they always find a way to, regardless of whose fault it is, to just, they just won't budge. Whereas Checo didn't budge either. And yes, they got very close at times, but it was clean. Like, it was like fucking hard racing. No stewards need to get involved. Max fans will agree it was clean. Lewis fans will agree it was clean. Like, that's the kind of racing that I want to see consistently. I know people will mix it up. It'll be contact. But, like, you never really see that with Perez and Lewis. And that's, I think, when you compare what Max and Lewis get into, that's the difference. I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying I love Checo's driving. And it was crazy. When they started, when Lewis got up behind him, I believe the gap was 7 seconds for Verstappen to Lewis. And I think they mixed it up for like a lap maybe a lap and a quarter, call it a lap and a half. But I mean, geez, how quickly it seemed like you, all of a sudden you saw Max in the background. And for me, that was the highlight of the race.
Yeah. It was exciting to watch.
Yeah. So at that point, Checo gets out of the way. Max comes flying in, gets right behind Lewis again.
Then the gap opens up more still. So it didn't really last very long.
Yeah. I mean, the common theme here was that Mercedes had the better package for this track. And, you know, as is, it was going to be a relatively easy win. But that's why you watch the whole race.
Shortly after the whole battle between Lewis and Perez, like Perez retired from the race, not sure what was wrong with his car. They just told him like he had to retire. George also was out. He had to retire as well.
Yeah. Gio?
Yes, Gio also retired.
Terrible day for the retiring Alfa Romeo.
Yep.
Yeah, very anticlimactic way to go for the guys that were driving for the last time on their team. I mean, even Bottas, right? Bottas, like, just for whatever reason, can't pass cars. You know, I mean, he's just driving the same package as Lewis. But
I think Bottas was over it. He, like, did not care to, like, put in any effort.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, it was interesting. So you kind of have one of your classic Lewis Hamilton races, you know, out ahead, stretching the gap, keeping the gap, you know, pretty consistent. And we are in lap 51, lap 52, Latifi starts bumping and grinding with your boy Shoemaker and gets run off the road a little bit. Tires get a little dusty and he spins out and hits the wall. Commonplace to hit the wall. We saw a few of those in qualifying and free practice. And it brings out a caution flag with 6 laps to go. Safety car, I should say. I always say caution flag. Brings out a safety car with 6 laps to go. I don't know what you were doing. I don't know what your reaction was, but
I screamed.
Second that happened, everyone was just like, oh, and I mean, my heart fell out of my chest. Like I picked it up off the ground. I was like, oh shit. And the reason being is because everyone knew Mercedes had to make a decision, either come in and get a new set of tires, which means Max most likely would have stayed out, which is pretty risky with a safety car coming out 6 laps to go. I mean, Max would take the lead and potentially end the race on a safety car. It's a pretty abysmal way to give up the championship, or stay out on very used hards while Max would come in, grab a new set.
Yeah, Max softs. Immediately pitted. Like he barely flinched. He went right in that pit to get those softs.
Yep. And it's also interesting too. Like I'm not saying like Lewis was unlucky. There's some unluck there for sure. I mean, Max and Horner admitted that they got a little lucky, but you know, I mean, that crash happens 10 seconds earlier, 15 seconds, you know, Lewis is able to dip into the pits and not even be affected, you know? So that's just how racing works out. But you get the safety car and you had Lewis in the front, but then you had, 4 or 5 cars behind him that were lapped, and then Verstappen came out of the pits behind those 4 or 5 cars. And they ran in that formation for several laps. I guess we'll stop here because there's so many different things that typically happen that didn't happen that led us to the last lap. So typically, and again, I don't claim to be like a regulations expert. Typically, in most races, what we see is during a safety car, all the lap cars can unlap themselves. And so all the cars that are lapped, they fly to the front. They got to go all the way around the circuit and catch back up again. And then at that point, the safety car will do a lap, do the final lap, and then come in. It seemed like in this occasion, they were not going to allow the cars to unlap themselves, which meant when they restarted the race, if they restarted the race, Lewis would be in first and Max would be basically 5 or 6 cars behind with a lap to go, which means unless Lewis crashed, it was over. And that's what Michael Masi said to the teams, right? And so I think we were all expecting there to be one lap, maybe, with Lewis having a clear gap.
Yeah, I mean, they just, that safety car kept going. And I was like, is there even going to be like a lap left for them to even race? That's what I was like, kind of thing. I'm like, we're all debating whether these back markers can go ahead or stay where they are, but like, is there enough time for a race?
Yeah, it's funny, when Latifi crashed too, I was like checking out like, how quickly can they get a crane in there? Is it close to kind of an open outlet?
They moved fast.
They got it done very quickly. They really did. A lot quicker than a lot of other safety cars.
Yep.
So you had, I'm sure it sounded like, when Christian said he was lobbying pretty hard with Michael, just asking for one more lap. And so Michael, last second, decides to give him one more lap, but he allows the three or four lap cars behind Lewis to unlap themselves, which brings Max right behind Lewis, which again, I don't really have a problem with. Like, that makes sense. However, there were a few cars in the back that weren't allowed to unlap themselves so that they could start that final lap. So that was, seemed a little, you know, a lot of people saying Lewis got robbed there. And I think Mercedes is still going to appeal the appeal. But I at this point, I hope they don't change it. But it led to the last lap.
Hold on. I think the other thing that happened on the radios was like, they had repeatedly said like, no, that they can't pass. The lapped cars can't pass. They can't pass. They can't pass. And then they finally were like, okay, they can pass. And then 5 seconds later, safety car ending. So it was like in a matter of 10 seconds, the major decision was made that they could pass and the safety car was ending. So like, those radios to those drivers must have been like pure chaos, just like telling them like, okay, now it's time to like get ready. And you see them pass. And then Max kind of going nearly right next to Lewis to still give Lewis like, you know, you're ahead, but like they are like wheel to wheel. And oh my God.
Yeah.
The stress.
It was exciting.
It was so exciting.
It was exciting, but the key thing there is they didn't let all of the lap cars pass, just those first four behind. So that seems a little shady, but
basically the cars that were in between Lewis and Max.
Yeah, and I get both arguments. Arguments like, why does it matter if the other three cars didn't get, like, they're not in the right? Like, I totally get it. It's just unprecedented to do that. But, you know, someone must have called in and been like, dude, we can have a last lap runoff for the championship and just hit that special button to Michael Massey. Someone, whoever runs FI or whoever runs Formula One, Liberty Media, whatever. I'm sure they called that in, as I would. I mean, you know, Jesus Christ. So anyways, before we get into the last lap. So this is where like Bottas just like it like send him the code word, like bananas, or there's gotta be a code word. The code word you say, and you say while they're behind the safety car, and you could tell like they may get a lap in, they may not, but you knew it was going to be a lap at most. You could tell just by how quickly they're cleaning up. If you're even remotely concerned, and I get it, like the FIA turned that switch to, like you said, like really quickly, so no one had time to react. But like, why didn't Mercedes just send Bottas a code word and have him wreck the car while he's quote unquote warming up his tires? I mean, think about it. Like, they could have done that. They could have been warm tires. We've seen like Russell do that last year, right? Where he's warm up tires and he shunts it into the wall and, you know, they got to bring another crane out. Like, they could have just done that and the race would have ended under safety.
I don't think there was like literally enough time to process anything that was happening.
No, I agree.
It all happened so fast.
No, I totally agree. That's why it didn't happen. And I think that's probably, among other things, what really pissed Toto off. They didn't even have a chance to respond with any sort of strategy, right? Whether it's tires, it's this, that, or let's just use our second car to delay the race. Like, but yeah, Bottas. Oh, God.
Yeah. Brutal. Anyway, so now they're Max and Lewis. The safety car is gone, and they are battling this last lap. Lewis initially got ahead. Then Max was able to pass them. Then I think they did like another do-si-do. And then Max just was gone. He like had enough of a gap that it was clearly he was going to take this one in, and it was so exciting.
Yeah. Well, once you get to that second long straight, there's no opportunity to pass on that track. I have no problem with the results.
Okay.
I mean, how many times are you going to let Max dive down the inside? How many times are you going to let that happen? Now, I get it. Lewis is setting up the long straights, right? Because he knows Max is going to be right behind him on those straights, so he's got to get a clean exit. Totally get it. But I mean, with the last, 10 weeks on this podcast, I'm like, and then Max dives down inside and late breaks, right? I mean, that is his move. And I couldn't believe, if you go back and look, I could not believe how like laissez-faire Lewis was into turn four. He took his normal line, which is like medium ish. He doesn't take it tight, doesn't take it too far out. But Max just took that space. And then, you know, Max is going to do the thing where he like nudges you out. And now you've got two long straights to try to make a pass with no DRS. Like, I'd rather protect the inside, have Max right on my ass on two long straights and protect the inside than just I've got to pass Max. Cause we all know how hard it is to pass Max.
Yes.
I just couldn't believe it. And I literally said it as it was happening. He's going to dive down inside. And he literally did. And I was like, this race is over. So in that sense, a little frustrated, but man,
it was wild.
It was wild.
Wild. You just have Toto on the radio, like screaming at Michael Massey, like, you can't do this. Like, just like,
no.
Oh no. And what did Massey say? He was like, this is race car driving.
It's called motorsport, Toto.
Yeah.
It was an interesting end to the race for sure. I actually just listened to the radios this morning. You know, the Max radio was exciting.
Did you hear what Lewis said on the radio that was not originally aired?
Well, the one I just watched, he didn't say anything.
He did not say a lot after, but what he did say on the radio was, this has been manipulated.
I mean, it felt that way. I mean, when you do something unprecedented, it felt that way.
But he doesn't say, when he pushed Max off the road in Silverstone and Max had to go to the hospital, he came out, you know, victorious. There was no sympathy, no compassion. Like, that was manipulated. Like, that one was in his favor. So, like, he just, like, thinks, like, everything is this personal attack.
I think he meant it a little bit different. Like, these guys race, they crash, right? When Max put it up on top of his head, like, fucking, that was Max's fault.
I'm not talking about that one.
Any crashes, right? This was, I mean, listen, something that's never happened before happened. Last race, last lap. Like, I'm not saying I disagree with the results, but we can't sit here and admit that, like, well, this has happened before. Like, these races, like, it's never happened before where you unlap only certain cars.
For sure. But Lewis consistently is saying on the radio, blames it on everybody else or, like, the rules or something like that. He's a very sore loser. Like, he can never... He is. So
are you going to say... I want your honest opinion, too. I thought he was very classy.
He did not say much after. Well, for
would you?
Sure. I mean,
why would you? Your words are going to be used against you. But he shook hands. He celebrated.
He did. I don't disagree with that.
His dad went over. I mean, I thought he handled it very classy.
He did. But then
he's been a no-show on Instagram or social media for 2 days now. But I thought he was very classy. Well, in the radio, I mean, come on.
That's where I have the most issue with him is on the radio. That is where I have most of my issues.
I get it. There's some stuff he said, especially like the, you know, the checkout thing we were talking about earlier. Like, that was dangerous driving. Like, yeah, no, it wasn't. But you and I always talk about this. You got to give these guys a little bit of slack. Like, they're driving at 3 gajillion miles per hour for a championship and money and blah, 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 blah. I'm surprised they don't say more outlandish shit, honestly.
Yeah, I'm just tired. I'm tired of hearing it. Like, the last race or whenever, when Max was able to change his tire during a red flag and he was like, oh, we didn't need to red flag that race. Like, yeah, bitch, like the fucking crane and people had to go on the track. So like, yeah, you did have to red flag it. Like, you aren't in charge here. Like, that stuff just drives me insane, insane, insane. I do think he handled it classily after the race, but I don't know if you noticed in his post-race interview, they were like, you know, asking him questions and all this stuff. And he was like, honestly, I just want to focus on the pandemic. And he like just clearly wanted to change the topic and was like bringing up the pandemic. I was like, how did we get there?
He's a smart guy. He knows he's a target. He knows he's like anything he says. I get it. I will say it is theater too, though, right? Like they choose and select what they put on radio when you're watching. They know the sentiment. They know. So they play to that. But, you know, it's not like Max doesn't say crazy shit or other drivers do too. But, yeah, I mean, it was that's a tough way to lose. I mean, even, you know, Russell came out and said something. Danny said something. Like, eh.
Yep. But let's talk about the driver of the year, Carlos Sainz.
Dude,
I feel really bad because I was like, in the beginning of the season, I was like, oh, Carlos is the man for me. Like, I love him. And I dropped him. I dropped him. And he had such a good season. Like, I'm the worst.
Dude, I dropped him. I had a hard time like getting the race out of my head and the results and just like my feelings and all that. And I don't know. It was one of these, something on F1, and I think it was just the driver's championship score. And I was like, wow.
He did amazing.
Carlos did amazing. Like, yeah. I mean, I think that's a big deal.
I think he was like something like he scored the most amount of races in the season, like more than Max and Lewis. Cause like they had some DNFs, but like he beat Charles only by 5 points, but like he did so well. The Instagram of like him getting third this weekend and then being like, well, another time no one cares about my book.
Seriously. He's always up there when there's a story. The driver's championship.
He did great.
Max, Lewis, Bottas, Sergio, Sainz, yep. Norris, Leclerc, Ricardo, Gasly, Alonso 10. So I guess we know who the alpha is.
I know. Surprise.
You got to put some respect on that name, too.
I know. I'm like going back.
And you said it's only 5 points, which you're right. But I mean, Max and Lewis is only 8. So I mean, 5 points is significant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This year has definitely changed my outlook on Carlos Sainz.
All right.
I think I'm
less of a mama daddy's boy than you thought.
No, I still think he's that. But okay. I think I can get behind him.
Yeah.
I think I can get behind him.
And poor Shoemaker and Nikita got 0 points this season. Even Gio got 3 points.
Robert Kubica got 0 points too.
Yeah, because he only did that one thing. So, and like the other things I want to point out about like post-race celebration was like Max's dad immediately put on like a world championship sweatshirt. Like probably like while that last lap was happening, like he had that on and it was like a little tight. Like he probably should have gone up a size. But he had that on so quickly. And I think like threw one to Kelly and like was like, you better put this shit on.
Yeah.
They were the only two wearing these out, wearing like the swag. Like, did he get them personally made and like commanded her to wear one as well? Like, cause that's how I'm envisioning it happening for some reason.
He's a pretty intense dude. So,
possibly. Like the last 2 weekends, like, anytime they showed Max on the TV, like his dad was like hovering in the background.
I mean, you know, listen, he drove. He knows what it's about.
I know. It was just like he's just kind of terrifying looking.
Yeah. It's funny when you think about like when you have kids, you may or may not ever think this. I feel like it's more of a guy thing, although it's kind of a outrageous comment. But like, you know, dads who are like played sports, they become weekend warriors, they have a son and they want their son to be as good as they in their mind think they were when they were younger.
Yeah,
like, I went through that with Carter and I realized like I probably wasn't that good and like he definitely isn't that great, so like just move on. But like,
yeah,
it's got to be intense to, you know, like live through that, especially because you could probably say Yost wanted it more than Max did, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was, yeah, for sure. And Kelly was like crying. So was Max's dad. They were both like sobbing. And then, you know, normal post-race celebrations. Horner had no idea how to do the champagne shower on the podium. Like,
it had been a while for him.
He like couldn't get it to spray. So he was kind of just like, just throwing it out of the, like just kind of chucking the champagne out of the bottle. I don't know if you noticed that, but that was like funny. And he was like also crying. So was Ginger Spice, his wife, who looks very thin these days. Barely recognized her. She was also crying.
Probably and the then stress. You kind
of, yeah.
The last 4 or 5 weeks.
For sure. And then Kelly actually posted a video this morning of like everyone in the garage singing We Are the Champions. And Max is a white girl wasted. He was shit-faced. Like,
I love that though. Like you said, I mean, like, I love that video.
It was like the most personality we've ever seen out of him. And yeah, was just loving life. I'm sure Horner is still wasted. And then I also saw Toto was kind of like out partying, also like getting like, what's it called? Like when you get lifted up and like in a crowd.
Oh, crowd surfing?
Yeah, he was like crowd surfing, also wasted. And it's like, how upset are you?
Well, here's the thing, though. And I was thinking about that when I saw that video, too. And I was like, you know what? That's got to be hard to do. And you know, don't forget, they won the Constructors Championship.
They did. They did win something, which is an amazing.
Which is important. Yeah. Yeah. And I think they get a certain amount of allocation of the profits too. So they'll make more money. They get more money than Red Bull does for, you know, getting the car ready next year. So it's a big deal. But yeah, to go from the way that race ended and the FIA stuff, you still got to celebrate the team win, though. You know what I mean? So yep. Good for him for being able to get. And plus, I mean, shit. Like, you tell me you wouldn't need at least 20 drinks after that. Like, I need to get ripped shit face immediately. So yeah, great race. Mercedes did officially appeal. Not surprising.
They protested. Got turned down.
Right. So two protests. One that Max passed Lewis during the safety car, which he did. But we've seen that a million times. What Lewis does it to people. You knew that was going to get shut down. However, the whole concept of Michael Masi, what he allowed to happen on the last lap. I think there was something there. I assumed it would get dismissed. It just felt like I don't even know if I'd want to see that overturn. Like that would be a terrible way to win it and a terrible way to have it taken away from you. I just think what's done is done. It sounds like they're going to appeal the dismissal. So now you're really talking about lawyering up.
I mean,
I don't know. Like, I think it's bad for racing.
You gotta give up. You gotta give it up. And I also saw that, like, there's like rumors out there that like Lewis is going to retire, which I think is just like a rumor.
Well,
but like, come on.
His interview, it sure did sound like he was contemplating it. He said something in a way about next year, and it wasn't a solid, like, we'll be at it again next year. It was very, like, there was a lot of room for interpretation. I actually took it the same way, like, is this dude about to retire this offseason? Which I would be okay with. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would be okay with
that. I think he was, like, emotional in the moment and probably
just like, I can't think ahead right now.
Yep.
So.
Wait, I have one more thing. George Russell on Instagram, he was like very upset about the calls for Mercedes and was like, no, he was tweeting these things. I don't know if he's since like put it down. I'm trying to find the tweet. Oh, here he tweeted like, this is unacceptable. That's just like a big statement to put out there though. Like, just like kind of get over it. Like George needs PR help.
Yeah, no, he's going to get a lot of help with that. I mean, I agree. It is unacceptable to do something that you've never done before. Like, but at the end of the day, I think whether you're a Lewis fan, Max fan, whoever fan, like it was such a good season. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to sit here and stew over it. Like, that was an awesome season. It kept me extremely entertained and engaged. Not the exact result that I would have wanted. However, who gives a fuck about what result I want? Like, at the end of the day, you know, F1 did its job. So yeah, I did see that. I was surprised. At first I was like, ooh, is he like now in the Mercedes? But I think it had nothing to do with it. I think he just felt like that was a bullshit call.
Yep.
And I think to a lot of people, I think even to some Max fans, actually it was really funny. We're in the bar and it was packed. And I think one of the announcers was like, oh yeah, you know, Mercedes probably feels cheated. And this guy sitting at the bar, big Max fan, yells out, you did get fucking cheated. How's it feel? And everyone started laughing. And even I was laughing. I was like, that's true. It's true.
I'm here for it.
Totally. So,
but yeah, I'm just really happy. And it was a great way to end the season.
It was an awesome. Like I said, I don't know if we'll get another season. I mean, how many seasons are going to come down to the last lap of the last race? So
yeah, that was, I mean, we were blessed. Blessed.
Very much. Very much blessed. So where do we go from here? We have the off-season. Off-season testing isn't until like February, so won't be a lot of car content, if you will. We'll get the liveries at some point in the winter, see what the cars look like. I just, on a side note, I kind of want to see Mercedes go back to silver. I don't know if you really care, but I'm over the black.
I liked the Red Bull white, actually, that we had for that weekend.
Give me your top three drivers, not named Max or Lewis, based on not necessarily like how many points they score, but just overall like performance. Like,
okay,
like you're excited about them going into next year.
I am excited about Lando. I think he needs to be like more consistent throughout the season next year. So that would be my words of wisdom and advice for him. Mm-hmm. I am excited for George at Mercedes.
Yeah, definitely.
And lastly, I'm excited for Carlos. I'm interested to see what the Ferrari car will do next year with all of our lovely new regulations.
I would say, for me, I would agree. I have Lando as my number three guy. He just needs to be a little bit more, I won't say cutthroat, but you know, we talked about it. I'm interested in Perez, and here's the question. The guy did a hell of a job. Do you let the guy like race next year, or does he have to play second fiddle to Max now that Max has the championship? I'll be really intrigued to see how that plays out. You mentioned Russell. That was kind of my number one. Like, yeah, you know what? That might be Lewis's last chance to win a world championship because you got a really talented driver in the same package as him. I'll give you one name off the radar we don't talk about a ton. Fernando Alonso.
Yeah.
Finished the driver's championship in 10th with 81 points. But most of those points were the second half of the season. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go win the championship, but he seemed to come on towards the second half, so I'm excited to see those guys. Surprisingly, neither of us said Daniel Ricciardo.
I know.
It just seems like he's kind of like there.
Yeah. Heidi was there this weekend.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, of course I did.
And just for the record, so are we both in agreement that the alpha at Ferrari is Carlos Sainz? Are you ready to come to terms with that?
Oh, for sure. I'm sad because I think Charlos has a lot of bit. Charlos, that's a good nickname for them. Has anyone said that yet?
Charlos. Hey, Charlos.
I think we like all thought Charles would be like the alpha. And I think Carlos like sneakishly like surpassed him. So.
Well, you said it. He was just more consistent.
Yeah.
So
what's next? Well, next week we'll be off for the Christmas holiday. And then we'll be back on the 27th to do maybe like a season in review, top favorite moments, reliving them before we head off into 2022. I think by the 27th, we'll also know what our cadence is going to be in the off season for episodes. But if there's any other off season topics you guys want us to cover, feel free to message us on the gram. Did you just hear my voice, my rumble a little bit?
Yeah, I did.
I kind of had a burp that I was putting down.
A little bubbly, yeah. Okay. And you still like the message on the gram. They still refer to it as DMs.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's a DM. DM us on the Instagram.
Yep. A lot of you guys also sent us questions. We had a story post up probably like a week and a half ago about, you know, ask us any question, we'll answer it. So we'll be answering those questions.
We had that?
Yeah. Where have you been? I feel like we post so much on stories, we kind of rapid fire sometimes.
Sometimes we post the exact same thing, which is cute. But
that does happen. You know. But yeah, so those questions, we have those. We will do a little Q&A. So maybe we'll put another one of those up during the off week and let you guys trickle in some questions. And we will just rapid fire them off and have some fun with it. But I'm looking forward to the breather. I'm also looking forward to getting back and just kind of reviewing the season after stepping away from it all. One last question before we go. A lot of intensity from you about Lewis as the season went on. I would really, really challenge you to go back and listen to like episode like 1, 2, and 3 when we talk about Lewis. And now, will that anger like that? Because it's anger now. Will it dissipate? Because I was thinking about it, and it's like I never was really like angry.
Silverstone was the turning point for me.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that. But okay. now that Max has the championship. It's official.
You expect me to be less angry?
Like, I would expect to be even more angry if Lewis had won this race.
No, if Lewis had won, I actually wouldn't express my anger because I would try to be like calm, cool, and collected and not a sore loser. So let's be real here.
Yeah. But now that he's won, do you feel like with the break and now that Max has won, you can go in to next year and it's not going to cause as much?
I mean, I welcome any opportunity for change. So if I see a change in behavior from Lewis with his baby ass attitude, then yes, I will change my tune about how I feel about him. I'm not into cancel culture, but he needs to like get his act together, like take a lesson from the Max Verstappen
School of Radio.
he went to that this year. He was nasty on the radio last year. And he went to that this year. Him and George have to go to that same PR person, get it together, and then I will absolutely welcome an opportunity for a different tune.
Okay.
That is how I feel.
All right. It's on the record now. It's on the record. Very cool. Well, I've had an awesome time. I want to thank you and all the listeners.
Wow. You are welcome.
Yeah. Cause we kind of spun this out of nowhere. We never really planned. I just called you in to say, let's start an F1 podcast. And you're like, all right, down. And, we're 23 episodes in and almost a full season. We started a little late in the season, but it's been a lot of fun and I'm excited for next year. And we will continue to grow and evolve together. How about that?
Oh, that's so sweet.
Tear. So that's it. That's all we got. Enjoy the holiday break. In the meantime, feel free to interact with us on Instagram at GridGossipF1. And we will see you guys right before the new year.